Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Wednesday, July 27th. I'm your host, Eric Steven, and we have a day game today, a rare midweek day game at Dodger Stadium. They're playing a nooner to close out the homestand and the series against the Nationals. Andrew Heaney is going to get activated off the injured list to start this game. I was planning to talk most of this podcast about what it means for Mitch White going forward, but I think that's become a little more clear, so I'm switching the order somewhat because late in Tuesday's game, it became the festering sore, as it were, the glaring, just a glaring need for the Dodgers at the trade deadline is that they need relievers, and that's plural, by the way. They did, as we mentioned yesterday, as a potential option, they did option Reyes Maranta Tuesday to call up a different reliever. It was Garrett Clevenger, who's pitched well the last 2 months in AAA, had like a 38% strikeout rate, walked people, but was very effective. So Reyes Maranta, as we talked about, has been struggling, but he's also been pitching the lowest leverage situations on the team. And they brought in Garrett Clevenger to a situation on Tuesday, where he was asked to pitch the eighth inning with a one-run lead. And here's the crazy thing. It almost worked. The first play of the eighth inning was a ground ball to Gavin Lux, and he threw errantly and allowed a runner to reach base. Clevenger got the next two outs, so should have been out of the inning. But then with two outs, he hung a slider. Who did he hang the slider to? I don't even remember now. It doesn't matter. Oh, Luis Garcia. So that turned a one-run lead into a one-run deficit, and it sort of turned everything around. But after the game, Dave Roberts said Evan Phillips and Alex Vesia and David Price were down. So Phillips and Vesia pitched 3 out of 4 against the Giants over the weekend, and it's not a hard and fast rule. They check with guys every day to see what their availability is. But like they try to give some off days after that, those type of situation, you know, it's not always possible to do so, but, they didn't pitch either of the first two games against the Nationals. David Price, pitched Monday, which was his third outing in 4 games. So he was out. And then I guess Caleb Ferguson was also unavailable. So he also pitched Monday. And the thing with Ferguson, he's been really good. But they have not pitched him on back-to-back days. They've been super cautious with that. He had the shoulder thing that he went on the injury list for that he wasn't too happy about, but also it was mostly because they were in a stretch of like a bunch of games in a row, which they're also on now, and they felt they needed people who would be more available. But the point is they had half of their bullpen unavailable on Tuesday night, and that's no place to be right now. And then Clevenger, to top it all off. So one of the things I'll get to when we talk about Mitch White in a second, they need to send a pitcher down today to make room for Heaney. And it became clear very quickly who that pitcher is going to be, because Clevenger, after giving up the lead in the eighth, was brought out to start the ninth. Like, just finish this one out, kid, because you're very clearly getting sent back down after one day up on Tuesday. Obviously, they haven't announced that yet. They never do until it happens. So he remained in the ninth and just was kind of wearing it a little bit. But then he allowed 4 more runs, and they had to go get him before he could complete the ninth. He got 2 outs in the ninth, threw 36 total pitches. So I would bet a lot of money that Clevenger's the one getting optioned for Heaney today. So that was an interesting game. It turned a winnable game into an 8-3 loss. They've lost 2 of 3 to the Nationals, who have the worst record in baseball. Very weird. But just looking at the bullpen here, just to underscore this, it's not like, it's weird, right? It's not that weird that they're sort of out of like relievers. It's the fact that they don't have a very deep bullpen right now. Like, if you look at it, their top three pitchers in the current bullpen are basically Craig Kimbrell, Evan Phillips, and Yency Almonte. And then you have like Alex Vesia and Caleb Ferguson effective. And that's like five good relievers. David Price might be the sixth. And right there, that's a problem. Phil Bickford, Garrett Clevenger, 7 and 8. You could argue neither of those guys belong in the majors right now. Obviously, Brusdar Graterol is coming back at some point. Not fairly soon, maybe next week. I don't know the exact timing for him. Dave Roberts told reporters before Tuesday's game that Blake Treinen won't pitch for the next 2 weeks as he's sort of still working his way back. He said it wasn't a setback, but I think we're just talking semantics at this point. No matter what you call it, he's not going to be back in mid-August, as was earlier sort of hoped and planned. So he's a maybe at this point and not someone you can really count on. And I think this just underscores, so even if you have Brusdar Graterol back, like you still need options, right? Like you need guys you're willing to go to rather than the guy you just called up to replace the low man on the totem pole to protect a lead in the eighth inning. So they desperately need bullpen help. I know, you know, Andrew Friedman has said, as he says a lot, like that the team, you know, he doesn't like to pay for relievers, but, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, like it's just it's rough. I don't expect them to, you know, just go crazy and like send a top prospect for a reliever or something, unless it's like a really good reliever. But just saying, like, they are definitely getting a reliever, and they probably should get multiple relievers. You look at some of the veterans they brought in on minor league deals. Hansel Robles pitched his first game for Oklahoma City on Tuesday, gave up a bunch of runs, didn't really look too hot. Dellin Betances he's been like four ticks off of his career fastball average this year, hasn't been effective at all. He has something like a 10 ERA. In AAA, Pedro Baez is still in the Arizona Complex League, working his way back. So those guys are all question marks at this point. And, like, you know, what are they really going to add to the bullpen? They could add something that's great, but I think you need to give yourself more options. So, like I said before, the only other options on the 40-man right now, they just sent down Reyes Miranda, who's been struggling. They also have Jake Reed and Justin Brule down there. And, you know, all due respect to those guys, that's not a lot of depth right now. So they need to augment the depth. I think that's what they're going to try to do at the trade deadline. We've talked about this before. They need a lot of things at the trade deadline. As weird as it sounds, they still have an awesome record, still doing relatively well, even though they've lost two games to the Nationals. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with Mitch White now. So Mitch White, is going to probably be bumped from the rotation. They haven't sort of made that obvious yet, or made that official or anything. But with Heaney back, he's the sixth starter in 6 days after the All-Star break. They plan to only do the six-man rotation once through, just to start this stretch after the All-Star break to give everyone extra rest. So Mitch White has very clearly shown that he's a major league pitcher, so I think he needs to be in the bullpen, like, at the very least, to give them someone who can go 2 to 3 innings at a clip every couple of days, you know, like every 3 or 4 days, to at least save the situation. Because if they keep using most of the relievers one inning at a time, you're going to run into situations where sometimes you don't have a bunch of them because you just pitched like four of them 3 of 4 days recently. So anything they can get that sort of adds major league quality pitching to the bullpen is better. And I think Mitch White, even if he's out of the rotation, is a good choice for that. Now, he went a season-high 6 innings Tuesday. And given how limited the pen was, you could see why. Like, he was actually good. He gave up 2 runs in the first inning. He scattered 9 hits. I know it's old school to... It's an old-school term, like in the 70s and 80s, to say someone scattered X amount of hits. But he really did. Like, one of the singles had a 160 expected batting average. 2 of the hits in the first inning that led to 2 runs were, I think, 66 and 67 mile per hour off the bat, just dunkers that fell in. And then he didn't allow a run the rest of the way. So he has a 370 ERA, 424 FIP in 56 innings. He's at, like, roughly a 112 ERA plus. I haven't seen the exact Baseball Reference update because it's not up yet. And he had a 115 ERA plus last year. I know it's crudish to use ERA plus, but, like, Also, he was optioned 10 times last year. So he's basically thrown everything, or they've thrown everything at him, like optioning him a bunch last year, pitching him in relief a lot, occasionally starting. He was a bulk guy last year. This was actually the first time he went six innings in a start. He went seven and a third in a game where he followed an opener last year and just finished it out because he was really good. He sort of reminds me of Ross Stripling, who sort of did pitch whenever and wherever the Dodgers wanted him to. Had like four straight above average seasons out of the gate, averaged about 97 innings a year. Sometimes he started, sometimes he pitched in long relief, sometimes he pitched in leverage relief. He's back to doing being effective again this year in Toronto. He had a couple of off years the last two, but he's doing well. So Mitch White this year, he's pitched in mop-up relief. He's occasionally taken some leverage innings, and then he stepped into the rotation for the better part of the last 2 months. So after getting stretched out in those first two starts, after not, you know, starting the first month or so, he averaged just a shade over five innings per start with a 3.35 ERA over his last eight starts. He went at least five innings six times in that span, and including all four of his July starts. So he did like everything the Dodgers asked of him. But it's also understandable that he's the odd man out now in the rotation, which is very likely. So I think the idea is he could still provide length to a bullpen that desperately needs quality innings at this moment. And also, I guess the argument, if you were going to send Mitch White down, which I don't think is even close to happening at this point, but if you sent him down, it would be to like keep him pitching every 5 or 6 days as a starter. So then when you need a starter, you can call up a ready-made starter. But they already have that in Ryan Pepiot, who, by the way, went a career-high 7 for Oklahoma City on Tuesday. He threw less of his changeup than normal. He's like continuing to work on fastball command. He only allowed a run. So he's fine-tuning stuff. So he's a ready-available starter. I think White very clearly belongs in the majors, and it's very clear that they need bullpen help. So he's going to help the bullpen, but clearly at the trade deadline, the Dodgers need relief pitching. They need a lot of stuff, need being the operative word. I'm saying this as, like, they're going to win the division, right? There's no getting around that. They have a huge lead. But in terms of, like, setting themselves up for the playoffs, they need a better bullpen than they have now. So it could happen through internal options, people who are hurt, people they might call up. But I think you just give yourself more options. So I think they need to trade for at least one, possibly two relievers. Hopefully they do that in the next week. And we will talk a little bit more about Tuesday's game after this. So another highlight I wanted to share from Tuesday was by Mookie Betts, who just sort of continues to amaze in different ways. We saw last year, right, he was battling like nagging injuries all year. The first half, it was kind of a myriad of things. Then he had the hip injuries, hip pointer that he sort of missed two injured list stints on after the break. Didn't quite have the same speed and general movement that he usually does. Like his defensive numbers were a little off outside of their normally excellent range. But he was still above average and very valuable last year, even in a diminished state. And so you could tell he has like an extremely low floor, right, from just where he's at performance-wise. But man, when he's like fully healthy and right, he does look very awesome. And that's sort of where he's at now. So he seems to me like a security blanket is what I would call in right field. You just feel comfortable about basically anything that's hit in that direction. Sometimes it's like how easily he makes it look when he's just sort of gliding toward a ball and you just know he's going to catch it. Like Cody Bellinger is really good at this too. Like I think Bellinger like probably has more range in center field, and like he just sort of gets the balls pretty amazingly sometimes too. But it's that way with Mookie and Wright. Like when those two are in the outfield, like that's a pretty safe space to be in terms of like peace of mind, I guess. Other times it's for Mookie, it's a terrific diving catch like he had to end Sunday's game. That he's just really good. And so, but his arm is also fun. And he's about as technically sound, as like you can imagine, you know? So he doubled off a runner Monday night. It was a sort of a running catch. And then he whirled and threw, and beat the I forget who was running, but it was a runner going back to first base. On Tuesday, his arm played a key role twice. So Luis Garcia, who homered later in the game, he tripled with one out in the third inning. Then Mikel Franco flew out to Mookie Betts in right, and he uncorked a strong throw home that, you know, Garcia took a few steps down the line, but ultimately didn't run. He didn't want to challenge Betts. The throw would have nailed him at the plate, and it was cut off by Freddie Freeman. And then, you know, he didn't really try to score on that, but I think he would have been thrown out had he tried. And then Garcia was stranded when Mitch White, who again pitched a good game, he struck out Lane Thomas to end the inning. Now in the fourth, Victor Robles singled and stole second, but then White got two outs without Robles advancing. So there's two outs. Josh Bell singled to right, so Victor Robles obviously running. And you know he's going to try to score. And then this happened, as called on Sportsnet LA.
Wade sent a breaking ball, rips it to right. Base hit, picked up by Betts. Here comes Robles. Here comes the throw.
So yeah, even like Joe Davis, you can always tell when it's a big play. Joe Davis gets excited on the call, and he does a really good job at sort of rising to the moment. And that was the case on this too. Mookie Betts, Sarah Langs at MLB.com tweeted that Mookie Betts threw home at 95.1 miles per hour. It's his second fastest throw in the StatCast era, which dates back to 2015, which covers most of Betts' career. He now has 6 outfield assists on the season. What I love about that play, though, specifically, is like there's an anticipation to it, right? So you know Robles is running. You know he's going to try to score. And then the ball's going to Mookie. And then there's like this buildup in the crowd of like, oh, he's going to try to get him at home. So, you know, there's a chance he's going to throw him out. And then you sort of think it's going to happen. But then when it does happen, it just like adds to the excitement even more. It's really hard to explain, but it just the anticipation of it sort of adds to the excitement. But yeah, Mookie Betts, this is not breaking news, but very cool player to watch. Just sort of a very awesome all-around player, and that was sort of on display in this one. But yeah, that's our show for today. A lot to talk about. I know we were kind of all over the place there, but day game today. Hope you enjoy it. We will be back with you tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening, everybody.